Glory to God. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Amen. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You could turn there, or they're going to put it on the overhead for us because I'm going to read it from a different translation, but you can follow along and with me, and you can see it on the overhead. Glory to God. We've been talking about grace-based giving. This is actually part 3, so obviously that means there's been 2 other messages before this. And oh yeah, I have a handout for you. Hand those out for us. Just there's enough for everybody to have one. Maybe somebody help him there do this. Praise God. Oh, they got them on both sides. So this is just to help you on some give you some notes. This is to aid you, to help you. You can take notes on it. You can turn it into a paper airplane and throw it. I don't know. But glory to God. So like I said, we're in the middle of a series that we're calling Grace-Based Giving. And what's happening here, I remind you, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 9, the Apostle Paul, listen carefully now, the Apostle Paul has been taking up a special offering among the Gentile churches to send back to some very, very poor Jews in Judea. This has been going on a couple of years. Every church he goes to, these Gentile churches, he's taken up an offering for them to send back to Judea. They have been under a severe drought, and the poor people there are suffering. And so Paul says it's right for you to help them and send them an offering. And we're calling it grace-based giving because throughout these 2 chapters, Paul connects or links our giving motivated by love to grace over and over again. You know, for God so loved us, He freely gives. For God so loved us, He freely gives. And all of us touched by God's grace gifts because of His love for us should in turn be generous givers. I said all of us who have been touched by the grace of God and the gifts of grace because God loves us so much should in turn be generous giving. Giving is an act of grace. Can you say amen? I said giving is an act of grace. So all of chapter 8, all of chapter 9 is talking about money. Amen. Specifically, can't spiritualize it. He has taken up an offering. He is collecting money to send to these people. So every verse of chapter 8 and chapter 9. So it's talking about money, it's talking about giving, it's talking about sowing and reaping. So we're going to read again portions of chapter 8 and 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to read this to you from the New Living Translation, but you can follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse number 1. I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness or in His grace has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. So they gave generously, they gave of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. Well, that implies that Paul wasn't even going to ask this particular group to send relief to the churches in Judea. But they begged him for the opportunity. And so they were joyful about it. They gave generously. They gave of their own free will. Verse 4, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in this. Verse 5, they even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Well, these from Macedonia, see, Paul is telling the church at Corinth what these believers did in Macedonia, and these in Macedonia gave what for them was very generous. And as we saw, they gave freely and they gave joyfully. Glory to God, even though they themselves at that particular moment in time were going through an extremely hard time, a difficult time financially. So grace-based giving, you have to understand this about grace-based giving. Grace-based giving doesn't calculate or try to figure out what's the least amount it can give. You know? I mean, if you're involved in grace-based giving, you don't try to figure it all up and see what's the least amount you could give. In other words, it doesn't give the minimal amount it thinks is required. I remember somebody told me one time, nobody from around here, this long way away, and I think they did it with a somewhat sincere heart without understanding the truths of the Bible, but their particular church, this long way away, was taking up a special offering to replace all the roofs. And so if you replaced every roof we got here, you'd be talking about, maybe $200,000. Of course, we replace them at different times. But so this was a big, big project for this church. And so what this man did is he called the church office and he said, how many members do we have? And they told him, and so he knew what the project cost was. So he divided the membership into the, you know, how much it was going to cost. And he said, that's my part. You know, in other words, he was calculating or trying to figure out what seemed fair and equitable and just to him. However, he made a lot better than almost everybody that went to that church. And grace-based giving is not based on, you know, just trying to figure out and finagle out how you can give the least amount. No, you want to give your best offering when it's grace-based giving. Can you say amen? And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's begin with verse number 5. Again, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. We've read from the New King James. We read from the Amplified. We read from the Passion Translation last week. But from the New, this is actually the New Living Translation. Beginning with verse number 5, it says, so I thought I should send these gifts, verse 5, so I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure that your gift is promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Now, who wrote Corinthians? Who is Paul being moved by? The Holy Spirit. So this is God talking to us. And so God talking to me, God talking to you says, I want it to be a willing gift and not done grudgingly. Can you say amen? Amen. Then God, through Paul, in verse number 6 says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart. Amen. Glory to God. I think the New King James says you must purpose in your heart. Decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response of pressure. So giving will in context, giving grudgingly and giving reluctantly is the opposite of giving cheerfully. So he says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all your need. Amen. That is, if you give a willing, generous, cheerful offering. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer. I like the King James, New King James better. It says he provides seed for the sower. He doesn't just provide seed for anybody. He provides seed to the one who is already a sower. So if you were a sower, God provides you seed. God provides seed for the sower and bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Verse 11, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. So last week we began, said a lot of things about all of that already, but last week we began to give you 7 biblical principles regarding money, giving, and receiving. That's what you have on your handout. And this isn't an exhaustive list. I'll add to this as we go along. But 7 important biblical principles regarding money and receiving. And so last week, you know, we actually, as the Spirit of God led us, we dealt with number 6 and number 7. We said number 6, we are to give expectantly in faith and not grow weary. Paul in Galatians chapter 6, and if you read it in context, he is specifically, he talks about sowing and reaping. And in context, he's talking about supporting, you know, ministers and so forth. And he said, you will reap what you sow if you don't grow weary and lose heart. Amen. So we are to give in faith and not grow weary. You know, I don't know what it is, but there's a large number of people in the body of Christ, they almost think they tithe faithfully and they give offerings above their tithe, but they almost think it's wrong to, in faith, expect God to bless them in return. But to me, that's kind of like a farmer going out and planting a crop, but then he never reaps it. He just lets it die in the field. No, that's wasteful. And so it is our responsibility, and this is what believers have not understood. We give in faith, by faith, but we also have to reap by faith. It's not going to automatically come back to you. You're going to have to use your faith and expect God to do what He said He would do in His Word. And as you give, it's going to be given back unto you. As you tithe, He will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing there's not even room enough to receive. And He will rebuke the devourer. You're going to have to enforce that rebuke and believe that it takes place or it will not take place in your life. Are you following me? See, so when we give with right motives, when I give, you know, I always say, Father, I worship you in my giving. You can add that to your list. You know, we are to give. You see all these different ways we are to give. We are to give worshipfully. Amen. That's how Abraham gave. Abraham tithed 450 years before the law. He didn't do it because he was required to do it. He did it because he worshiped God, because he loved God, and because he recognized that God was his provider, God was his source, and no other. So he said, I lift my hand to God. He told the king of Salem, I will not take anything from you. My God is the one who supplies my every need. And so you see, we give like Abraham did. I don't want to get into the tithing thing, you know, because that's not our point in this message. But you know, somebody says, well, I don't believe in tithing. Well, neither did Hitler, you know. So, but we tithe, praise God. See, they tithe. Somebody says, well, that's under the law. Was thou shalt not murder was under the law. Does that mean because we're not under the law, we can go murder people? Somebody says, if you tithe, you put yourself under the law. Well, if you don't murder people, is that putting yourself under the law? Don't be stupid. No, you shouldn't murder people before the law. You shouldn't murder during the law. And you shouldn't murder somebody under the new covenant where love reigns. And you see, tithing existed 450 years before the law. It was codified into the law. And then it existed under the New Testament. And we'll not go into any details about that. But you know, I bring my tithes and my offerings to God and I say, Father, I worship you. I give this because I love you. I give this in obedience to you because you told me to do it. I acknowledge you are my source. Not my job, not Uncle Fred, not this one, not that one, not the government. You are my source. You are provider. Glory to God. And so I do this in obedience. I do this because I love you. I do it freely. I do it willingly. I do it joyfully. And I do it in faith and I expect a return on my harvest. Amen. See, how do you reap a spiritual harvest? You reap it by faith. You believe what the Word of God says, that if you give it, will be given back unto you, glory to God. And just like faith for anything else, you believe it so when you can't see that anything at all is happening. You say, because there's been periods in my life when I was tithing and giving and tithing and giving, and it didn't look like I was going further and further in the hole. But I believed the Word of God, and I expected a return on my giving. I believed that God's Word was true, and of course God's Word is true, and because I did not grow weary and I did not faint, then the blessings came. Hallelujah. It's quite interesting. I'll get off on this just a second. It's quite interesting. Every once in a while, somebody will come up to me and I'll hear about somebody or they'll actually say it to me. Somebody will say, well, you know, you preach victory and you preach God will bless you and you preach if you tithe and give, God will bless you financially, but it just ain't working in my life and I'm just not going to serve God anymore. I mean, I'm not even going to serve Him. It ain't working for me. Well, in the first place, I think I'd check my motive, you know. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. We don't seek God to get things. We seek God because we love Him. But because we genuinely love Him and seek Him, then receiving all these other things is a byproduct of seeking Him first. But if I'm seeking Him just to get something, I'm not really seeking God. I'm seeking the thing which God condemns. See, that's covetousness and greed. Amen. And so it's quite interesting that when you go back to what God said to the Old Testament about tithes, you know, in Malachi, you're familiar with that. He said, you know, will a man rob God? In what way have you robbed me in tithes and offerings? And you know all that, you know what God says. But here's something a lot of people haven't realized. In verse number 13, when God says, you know, if you bring your tithes and offerings, I'll rebuke the devourer. You with me? You know those scriptures. But in verse 13, God says, your words have been harsh against me. your words have been stout against me. In other words, God is telling the people, you've spoken against me. You've spoken words that accuse me of not doing right. See, your words have been harsh. You've spoken against me. And the people said, when will we have spoken against you? And he said, when you said it is useless to serve God, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? What's the ordinance he's talking about? Well, if you back up in this chapter, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, do not be consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your father, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me. I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? And then he says, will a man rob God? And he starts talking about tithes and offerings. And so he says, you have spoken against me by saying, what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And the specific ordinance that he's talking about is tithes and offerings. You see that? And so somebody comes along and says, it ain't working for me, Brother Mark. I tithe and I give, and it ain't working. I'm telling you, it don't work for me. I do it and I do it, and I have believed God and trusted God, and it just don't work. It just don't work. That tithing stuff don't work. That faith stuff don't work. That giving stuff just don't work. Can you tell me why it don't work? Yes. Yes. You just said, because you believed it in your heart, that it didn't work, and it worked for you perfectly. You got exactly what you believed in your heart and said with your mouth. You believed it wouldn't work, you said it wouldn't work, and it didn't work. So, you know, like I said, we ought to live for God, period, just because we love Him, regardless of the benefits. But amen, but when we tithe and give with right motives, then we should give expectantly in faith and not grow weary. Can you say amen? Amen. And we should give as the Spirit leads. You know, one of the things I don't have on my list is and you could add this one, you know, we are to give worshipfully. Here's another one. We are to give purposefully. We are to give on purpose. You remember we read that a while ago? He said, give as you purpose in your own heart. Give as you purpose. I want to tie that in with giving as the Spirit leads you, because there is a place. Now, if the Spirit doesn't say anything to you, what do? You do what the Word of God says. And the Word of God tells you to give. And how does He tell you to give? Willingly, joyfully, and cheerfully. In proportion to what you have. See, it's always in proportion to what you have, not in proportion to what you don't have. So, you know, you may give what seems like a small amount, but for you it's really, really big. So that's why everybody can be a generous giver, because according to what you have. And so back when we were going to Rhema, you know, we were there in 1978, graduated in 79. It's getting closer and closer to graduation time. And so we've got to determine where to go. And so, you know, we had came from South Georgia, from Tifton, Georgia. And in my mind, I didn't think in a million years I would ever go back to Tifton, Georgia. Because I was willing to go, Margaret was willing to go, we were willing to go anywhere in the world. We was willing to go to Timbuktu. Didn't know where Timbuktu was, but we was willing to go there if God wanted us to go there. Amen. And so it just never crossed my mind that God would actually send us back to our home city at that time. But that's the way God leads a lot of people. And so as the process of, you know, we're getting closer and closer to graduation, so I knew we were to go back home. Actually, I knew by the Spirit of God. You know, in those days, there were a lot of home Bible fellowships and groups, not a lot of churches in those days, what we call charismatic word churches. And so there was a home Bible study there that had turned into a church, and they'd been going about 6 months, but they didn't have a pastor. And going back to my home city, there was the Methodist group that kind of wanted me to work with them. There was an Assembly of God church that wanted me to work with them. But I knew by the Spirit that I was going to be the pastor, that I was going to go back, and they were going to ask me to be the pastor of that church, and that I would be the pastor of that church. Now, I didn't call them up and tell them that. I didn't say anything to anybody. But you know, I knew that. And so we went back to Tifton, Georgia. And after we had been back there just a few days, they asked us to be the pastor of that church. But, you know, we got to get out of Tulsa. And we got to get back, you know, that's 1,000 miles away. We got to get back to there. And we don't have enough money to get out of Oklahoma. I'm not exaggerating. I mean, we don't have enough gas money to leave the state of Oklahoma. We might get out of Oklahoma and get into 100 miles of Arkansas or something, and that's it. We're out of money in the natural. And so the church we were going to Buddy Harrison's church. It was called Faith Christian Center. That Buddy Harrison married to Pat Harrison. Pat Harrison's Kenneth Hagin's daughter, you know. And so Faith Christian Center was going and blowing, and it was a very, you know, couple of thousand people, very big church in those days for a new work, brand new work, only a year old, grown that fast. And, you know, and they were taking up a special offering. And so we thought, well, we don't have any. You got to understand, for us to give a dollar would have been more than generous. We make minimum wage. We just, you know, we go behind $200 or $300 a month just based on our salary. You know, we went there to go to school, not to have a career job. So we were blessed that we got a job at Oral Roberts University. Even though I had a Bachelor of Science in Criminal Justice and had been a police officer for 4 years, I worked as not a security officer, but as a security guard at Oral Roberts University. Now, when they hired me, they said, man, you're way overqualified for this job. They only had a couple of security officers, you know, guys that carried the guns and walked around. They said you qualify for that job, even to run this outfit. But they said, we've already got people. I said, no, I want the job. I'm not here for a career. I'm here to go to Bible school. This is the way God is leading me. And so this is going to, my trust is in God. This is just one avenue that God is going to use to meet our needs financially. And so that job paid minimum wage. And like I said, in the natural, we went in the hole $200, $300 a month. Now, $200 and $300 a month back then would be like saying $1,000 today. Well, how would you like to get a paycheck and every month you're going in the hole $1,000? You know, but we believed God. We trusted God. And so money came from different sources, and I felt like a missionary. I'd go and check that mail. You know, man, I was there before the mailman was. So I'd open it up, and there'd be a check for $25. There might be a check for $100, and there might not be nothing. But, you know, we believed in the money. But still, you know, we're growing in faith. We're learning, and finances were tight. A couple of times, we literally didn't have any food in the house. Two babies, no food in the house. And so back to Faith Christian Center, they're taking up an offering, and it was to buy an airplane, actually, because they were traveling all over the world, not a super expensive jet, but an airplane where they could get from one place to another. And Margaret and I said, well, we need money for traveling. We need money. It's not just getting back to South Georgia. You know, you're giving up your job, so the next week you're not going to get a paycheck. And before your paycheck comes, you've already spent every penny of it anyway. And you know how it is when you're moving 1,000 miles across the country. That's not cheap. And then when you get there, you got to have a place to stay. So you got to pay rent, and you got to pay the deposits, and you got to have electricity deposit and water deposits and all that. I mean, it's, you know, and we don't have, you know, we're believing God tooth and toenail to pay our bills. And thank God we did. Thank God we did. And so anyway, we were led to give in that offering, and we gave purposely. We sowed that seed purposely to help us have the finances we needed to get back to Tifton, Georgia, and because the Spirit of God was impressing us to do it. So we gave like a $10 seed. Now, I know that doesn't sound much to you, but for us, it was more than we had. And we desperately needed to be setting aside money somehow or another to make this trip home. But we sowed that $10 seed. The Spirit of God impressed us to do it, led us to do it, and we purposed in our heart to sow it specifically for this need. Well, you know, we did make it home. I remember we left. We had it takes about, with two small kids, it takes about 17 hours. Of course, we're not going to stay in a motel room. We ain't got any money to stay in a motel room. Are you kidding me? And so we're gonna drive, but we tried to leave early that morning, but something happened. I'll not go into that. Something happened, and we weren't able to leave till like 3 or 4 o'clock that night. So we've got to drive in at night, you know. And I'm concerned because back in those days, you know, that we're going back to 1979. There's, you know, and you're out there in the godforsaken Arkansas, and you know, there's not as many gas stations, and those gas stations closed down. I was concerned we was gonna run out of gas before we got to the next gas station because we're driving straight through. But long story short, we got back to Tifton, Georgia. We had a house. First month's rent was paid. The deposit was paid. the electricity deposit was paid. And you see, the house, I didn't tell you this, the apartment we rented in Tulsa was furnished. So when we left to go there, we got rid of everything, took a little bitty of the smallest U-Haul you could get. That's all the belongings we had, and moved it out to Tulsa. And so now, I don't even think we had a U-Haul coming home, did we? So now, huh? So we did. I had a small one coming home. So you know, we had to have furniture in the house. So we got back, had the house, had the first month's rent paid, had the deposits paid, had electricity on, had the electricity deposit paid, and the house was full of furniture. Now you got to understand, our living room, dining room table was a picnic table. But glory to God, we had some place to sit so we could eat. And I think our bed in our bedroom was a fold out, match, you know what I mean, fold out like that. And I had $8 in my pocket when I moved to Tifton, Georgia. 3 years later when I moved, or two and a half years later when we moved to Cleveland, Tennessee, I had $12 in my pocket. So my faith had grown $4. Glory to God, hallelujah. Well, that thousand, it took basically almost to the penny $1,000 to set all that up. So we had given a $10 seed, which for us was extremely, extremely, extremely generous, and we literally got a 100-fold return and allowed us to move back home. Can you say amen? Amen. And by the way, I'm not even to my introduction, but you know, you understand when it comes to, you know, because you hear a lot about naming your seed, you know, I'm naming my seed, I'm giving this specifically for this project. And you can do that, and people have done that. But when it comes to that, you're going to have to understand, you can't separate the leading of the Spirit of God in these issues. You understand what I mean by that? In other words, people just like Brother Hagin gives the example of, he heard Brother Copeland gave his car away, so some Raymond student went and said, I'm giving my car away, and I'm going to get a better one. And he said all he did was walk the rest of the year. He just copying Brother Hagin. No, you got to be led by the Spirit of God in these areas. Now, if the Spirit of God doesn't say anything, we're supposed to give. Period. Amen. And so you hear people, I want to say this to you, some people are at a level, you'll understand this, you can't separate the Spirit of the Lord from this. You know, sometimes you'll people say, if you don't have enough to meet your need, in other words, your need is $100,000 and you've got $5,000, you just take that $5,000 and sow it as seed to meet you at that $100,000 need. Well, that may be true, but it may not be true. And if you give that $5,000 away, you know, you may be, the Spirit of God may, you may say, well, we got this 20, I know we got this, we got this deal coming up. It's not going to be for 8 or 9 months, but we're going to need $2,700 and we don't have 20, or 27, or 270,000. We don't have it. But God says, go ahead and take a step of faith and start setting aside money for it. See, that's wisdom. Not take what the $200 you got or $2,000 you got or $20,000. God's not telling you necessarily to sow it. He's saying take it and set it apart. Don't use that. That's wisdom. People have not done that and got in trouble when the Spirit of God was trying to lead them to do that. And you say, well, what's $2,000 in the light of I need $200,000? Well, then you take a step of faith and you set it aside and you believe God. Then here comes another 500 and here comes 300 and here comes 700. Then here comes 13,000. Then all of a sudden you got 32,000. Then you got 52,000. Then you got 79,000. We've done that many times here at the church and did what we needed to do. So you got to be, you understand what I'm saying? Do you follow that? You got to be led by the Spirit of God in these areas. Amen. In every area of life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So understand, the Spirit of God doesn't always tell somebody, take what you've got and sow it as seed. No, He may be telling you to take what you've got and set it aside and then add to it. Use your faith, believe God, believe the money in and add to it. You need to get that. You need to get that. Praise God. Tony, I want you to come up here. Because we were talking, and I know he's got many testimonies along these lines. Because right now we're talking about we are to give because God tells us to give. You don't have to pray about tithing. God already told you to tithe. You don't have to pray about giving. God already told you to give. But we need to give as the Spirit of God directs. And I think sometimes people miss great opportunities to be blessed because they don't give as the Spirit leads them. So give us a testimony about that. Anyone you want to give about it. Praise God. Get up here so they can see you good.
One, I've got 16 lined up.
Well, give us all 16. I don't care.
No. You know, I first learned about tithing and giving when I'd heard about it. I tried it back in the 80s after I became a Christian, but I learned about it here at this church in 1992 and started tithing and never stopped. Never missed a tithe in 30 years and don't intend to just start now. But I learned, and once again, through the teaching here at the church, the things of the Spirit were new to me back in 92 when we first started coming here. And, you know, you, put this in a nutshell, you have the Creator of the universe living within inside you, all knowledge and all wisdom available to you.
Yes.
So you have all knowledge of what to do, when to give, how much to give, and when you follow that, you're right on. And when you follow that, God is obligated in His Word to bless that and return it back to you. 1992, I'll make this brief, 1992, David George had come to the church in 1992 and ministered. And they were taking up an offering at the end, and I heard the Spirit say, I want you to give $50 in that offering. And I'm like, $50? You know, I mean, you're talking to a man that with his check and savings, his stocks and bonds, and his chi money all aside, I had $132 to my name. So I wrestled with that. I did. I went out and I wrestled with that. All night long. I was out there in the yard walking around the next morning when I got up. God, did you really mean to get $50? You know, $50, that was a lot of money for me. And then finally I just come to the conclusion, you know, well, bless God. I don't know if you can say this or not, but come hell or high water, I'm going to do it, you know.
You can say it.
And I did it. And I was in the car business back then, about to go out of the car business because I was losing my shirt, so to speak. And I went into the house, got on the landline. We didn't have cell phones back then. Got on the landline. I called the church down here, and Tim Kernan answered. And Tim Kernan, I said, hey, Tim, I said, this is Tony Jenkins, you know. And he's like, yeah, I know who you are. I'm like, that missionary that was there yesterday at our church, I've got an offering that I want to get to him. Is there any way that you know, I know it was yesterday, but that we can get that to him? He's like, well, I'm just sitting here figuring out his offering right now. And I said, I'll be there in 20 minutes. And I grabbed my checkbook, and I wrote out a check for $50, you know. And I'm walking out the door with the check in my hand, and the phone rings. And I'm like, well, I go back and I answer to him. Hello. Hey, Tony, this is so-and-so. You remember, I looked at a van you had for sale a couple of weeks ago. And I'm like, yeah, I remember you. And he said, well, he said, I've been thinking about it and I've been praying about it. And he said, I'm just going to take that van. Well, you know, I had $9,000 in the van. I was trying to get my money out of it. I'd talked to a couple of car dealers. I said, look, I'll sell this for $9,000. You know, you guys want, nobody would buy it. But when this man had looked at it several weeks earlier, I had to price up on it for $13,500. And he said, I'll take it for that amount of money. I said, okay. You know, and there was an additional $4,000 that I didn't plan on right there in my life come in. And I'm like, there's something to this giving and this being led by the Spirit, you know. And that was the first real big encounter that I'd had on it. And then this was about 20 years ago. We had a minister come to the church here and minister, and they were taking up an offering for him. And I just got my income tax back, you know, when you get your income tax back, you know, whether it's $500 or $3,000 or $4,000 or whatever, and like you got all these things in your mind you want to do with this money, you know. I want to do this. And so me and Renita were praying. I said, You know, I think we need to give an offering to this minister, because he's fixing to go on a mission trip. And I said, how much do you think we're to give? Well, I knew exactly, like $1,000. And I looked at Renee and she said, I think we need to give $1,000. I'm like, okay, that's my confirmation right there. So we gave $1,000 joyfully, willingly, gladly, had it. And 2 weeks later, at work, my boss come to me and said, hey, he says, we've got these old delivery trucks around here that I want to get rid of. And you know, we're getting new ones in. And can you get rid of them? I said, well, yeah, I can sell them. And I said, what do you want for them? He said, I don't know. What are they worth? And I said, well, I don't know. He said, just get me X amount of dollars for them, each one of them. And he said, I just want rid of them. I want rid of them. I said, okay. And so I thought about it, and I'm like, Lord, is that you telling me to go buy these things, you know? And so I went back to my boss, and I said, hey, I said, I'll buy those trucks if you don't care. If you don't care to me sell them, I don't want a conflict of interest, you know? And he said, no, that's fine. He said, just take them and sell them. He said, sell them. He said, pay me when you get the money. I'm like, okay, that's new. Well, I sold those trucks, I mean, immediately. And I profited, I cleared $9,000. Now, that was 2 weeks later after I give this $1,000 offering. I'm like, you know, there's something connected here. And then I had to go back. I had to look at my checkbook here to make sure on the dates of it and pull it out. But on the 8th of last month, on the 8th of September, I had a family member call me, and they were in a bind. And they said, I want to borrow $1,000. And I said, okay. And so I wrote a check out and made plans to meet with them the next day. That night, early the next morning, the Lord woke me up and said, don't loan them that money. I said, okay. He said, give them that money. Give them that money and tell them, you know. He told me to tell them some things that went along with it. I did. It was a very, very, very powerful meeting, you know. I mean, I gave them money. I said, look, I'm not loaning you this. The Lord said, give it to you. I'm giving it to you, you know. They cried. I cried. You know, it was just a really good time, you know. And, but the next 4 or 5 days, I guess it was, the next 4 or 5 days, this man called me and said, hey, he said, I've got this truck I need to get rid of. And I can't seem to do anything with it. He said, I want you to sell it for me, help me sell it for me. And he said, I'll give you a commission on it. I'm like, okay. So after he told me that, I listed it online. The next day, this guy called in. I mean, this guy, he was like dogmatic. It's like, I want that truck. I'll be there tomorrow. At first, he's like, I'll be there this evening. I'm like, I can't be there this evening. You know, I got stuff going on. I'll be there tomorrow. I'm like, okay. So he called. He come. He looked the truck. He drove it. He says, I want it. He bought it. Boom, it's gone. And the guy gave me $2,000. And I'm like, there's something to this spirit-led giving, you know. I mean, I'm getting this, you know. I'm getting this after all these years. I'm getting this. But the biggest, I guess, like you were talking about the 100-fold return, the biggest spiritual-led giving that's ever happened in my life was when the Lord impressed on me to give a $500 offering. And I didn't have the money. I said, Lord, I don't have $500. He said, no. He said, but you will have. I'm like, okay. So about 2 weeks later, now the Lord impressed on me to do this the Sunday after, what do they call it, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving? Yeah. the Sunday after that. And I'm like, I was broke as a convict right out of jail, you know. And but then 2 weeks later, I had sold an old truck I had, and I profited $750 on it. First thing I did, I paid a tithe of my offerings on it, which is what I do on everything. And I had you know, about $600-something left over, and I'm like, Lord told me to give that $500 offering, you know. But my kids are coming to me at 10, they're at home, you know, and they're like, Daddy, why don't we have any Christmas presents under the tree yet? I never told them, you know, we can't afford them. I would always say, well, we're going to get them. We're going to get them. You know, they're coming. And so I'm like, do I take this money and buy some presents, put them under the tree, you know? And I'm like, no, I got to do what's right. I went and talked to my wife. I said, hey, Renita, you know, the Lord told me to give it $500 and, you know, here's the deal. I got $600-something and what I need to do. She's like, well, you have better faith for finances than I have. She said, I've always trusted you do what's right. So I sat down and wrote a check for $500 and I gave the $500 offering. Okay. Well, things turned around during the next couple of weeks and I had money come in. She had money come in. And we had a really good Christmas. All the kids got presents, you know. But next month, the end of next month, somebody come in and paid my house off, $32,000. Now, the Lord showed me that was directed completely to that $500 offering. Now, if I hadn't been obedient on that $500 offering, that wouldn't happen. I'm firmly convinced. But I have many, many testimonies that I could share and go on with you about that. But I just wanted to inspire you today. You know, every time an opportunity comes about for an offering, I used to be on the offerings guest speaker, whatever. I used to be a $20 man. Then a $50 man, you know, then a $100 man. And now I'm a spirit-led man. I ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me giving this? You can't go wrong listening to the creator of the universe.
Praise God.
But God, you don't know. I only got $800 or $1,000 set aside. He knows that. I mean, but you don't know everything he knows. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I gotta say, you know, I'm really I was really stirred up in your message last Sunday. I really was, and the Lord reminded me of some things that I had not done, and so first thing I did was repent, and then I get my checkbook out, and you know, I wrote over $10,000 worth of giving and offerings and stuff. And anyway, I'm not saying it bragging. I'm bragging on God. That's what I'm doing. I'm bragging on God. You know, God is the one that has enabled me to be able to do that. I heard a testimony the other day. I was watching the Victory-thon. I got to tell you this, then I'll be quiet.
Right.
Keith Moore. Most of you know Keith Moore. And he was up and he was sharing about, he got up and he shared at the Victory-thon. Which I tell you, I got so inspired watching that. People of faith sharing testimonies and speaking about things. And he shared about the first offering that he ever gave to Brother Copeland was $5. He said him and Phyllis had $10. They had went to a meeting, and he said they gave $5 in that offering. And by the way, Keith Moore was my giving and receiving instructor when I went to Rhema. I had him for 2 years, and I got all his tapes and stuff on giving and receiving. I learned really a lot. And when Keith Moore, he was talking about, I'm getting sidetracked just for a second for a purpose, but he was talking about when he first started giving, you know, he'd give $2 or $3 an offering or $5, and then it went to 10, then in 20, then to 50, then 100, then 250, then 500, then 1,000, then 5,000, then 10,000, then 20,000, then 50,000, and he just kept going. I'm like, how do you do that, you know? He said today, he said, that $5 offering that we gave to Brother Copeland back in 1975 has turned into $1 million. And he said, I want to give $1 million to the ministry here. And that's a lot more than most of us can fathom, you know. But this stuff is real. It really happens. And something you said last week, you know, I had heard from a lot of people all my life, oh, man, them preachers, they just want your money. They just want your money. That church there, they just want your money. That's not true. If you know, I used to think like that, but I don't think like that anymore. And you know what I'm talking about, JR? A lot of people, I could point 50 people in here that I know that doesn't think like that. But God wants to, he wants to bring you up to another level. He wants to bring you up to another level. Who do you think is going to fund the gospel of Jesus Christ? The government ain't going to do it. The drug dealers ain't going to do it. You know, it's got to be us. And that's how he's going to do it. But he has a million and one ways to bless you and bring you that money back financially and give it back to you. And just open up your heart. Ask the Lord what he'd have you do about any situation, you know, whether it's the family member or the missionary that's here or the church or an individual that you know. And watch God work in your life. I just hope this has inspired somebody.
Amen. 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 Give him a hand. Praise God. Amen. Well, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tony. We appreciate that. You know, I was thinking, you know, sometimes when you tell these testimonies, you tend to revert back to those when you were given the dollars and $2 and $5 and $10. And since then, you could talk about thousands and tens of thousands. But those first experiences mean so much to you. But we had the very same experience you had when we got back to Tifton, Georgia and had all that set up. You know, we knew in our heart that it was directly linked to giving that $10 offering, which seemed impossible to us at that time. And we'll just close with this morning. I'll remind you again. In Corinthians, now this is Paul talking to these people, or God through Paul. So if I can find this real quick. Amen. Help me here. He says, this is to your advantage. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 10. I'm in 1 Corinthians. No wonder I can't find it. Hallelujah. Jesus, glory to God. This is live TV, Lord. You got to help me here. Yeah, Paul says, in talking about this whole thing about the grace of God and giving and so forth, he said, and this I give advice is to, and this, what I'm telling you, and my advice is to your advantage. There's nothing in the Bible, there's nothing that's preached under the anointing of the Spirit of God about tithing and giving that is ever designed to rob you or harm you or take something from you. It's all designed to cause you to be blessed. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together. That's praise God. Thank you, Tony. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to give you a dime of my salary, but thank you for sharing this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen. 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 You know, to be blessed, for you to be blessed, you might need something fixed in your body that would bless you. For you to be blessed, you might need to hear from heaven on a particular situation that you're dealing with. To be blessed, you might need a financial breakthrough or a breakthrough in some area of your life, in your mind or in your emotions or whatever, to be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You follow that. Amen. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. Yes. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, be blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be blessed. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Continued blessings. Continued blessings. Continued blessings. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessings, 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 blessings. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Glory to God. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Our visitors, be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessings. 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 Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. That's it, brother. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Ha ha ha. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Levon, glory to God in the name of Jesus. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Glory to God. Lay your hands on your own self. Lay your hands on your chest. And say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I receive whatever I need to fix whatever needs to be fixed, to remove whatever burden needs to be removed, to destroy whatever yoke needs to be destroyed, to be blessed, and I receive the blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Aha. Korasidi.
I wanted to share this. It just kept going around in my heart. But when you were talking about spirit-led giving, and I wanted to share a testimony that I heard Keith Moore share, but there's a point to it. But he talked about when he was going to get his first airplane, and he and his wife Phyllis, you know, they had their money set aside. You know, they didn't quite have enough, but they were setting it aside. And they were going to get an airplane from Brother Copeland. They had it all worked out and everything. He was coming that on his way to somewhere. He was going to stop where they were. They were going to go meet him, go over the plane, you know, make the transaction. And before that meeting, they had their plane money. I don't know if they had all of it. I can't remember exactly. But they had their plane money, a significant amount of their plane money. And they were in a service or somewhere or something, or they were talking about it. And he and Phyllis decided that they felt like they should give that money. They decided they were going to give that money. So they gave their plane money away. And then the day is getting closer and closer that Brother Copeland's coming, and they don't have their plane money. So it came right down to it. They don't have their plane money. He said, I realize, you know, he drives to the airport to meet Brother Copeland. And he said, I was so embarrassed, because now I got to tell him I don't have my plane money. And I got to tell him what happened. And he said, and we realized that when we did that, we weren't being spirit-led. We'd just heard other people talk about it and thought, that's what we need to do. And that's what they did. Mm-hmm. So they met Brother Copeland, and they had to tell him all that. And then he said, but you know what? He was so gracious. so gracious. And he said, you know, Keith, you know, we've all been there. We've all done things. It's all right. This plane's not going anywhere. You keep believing God. You keep trusting God. The money will come in. Well, in just a little while, they had their plane money. They called Brother Copeland up. They got the airplane. Amen. But this is what I want to tell you, that I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants to tell you, that if you've been in that same boat financially in giving, and you've done things, and you've done that, you know, I believe I should give, and you've done that, and you've tried that, and you've done that, and it didn't work out. I believe you thought, well, no, I don't guess that wasn't God, or either I didn't have any faith, or I just missed it. And you just kind of subconsciously sort of gave up on that. Let's let that go. You know, I'll give him a tithe. I'll just let that go. I believe that the Lord would encourage you, pick it up again. Don't give up. And don't get discouraged. And begin to practice, like Brother Tony was talking about. Begin to practice in little ways, given as the Spirit leads. And you'll begin to see a return on your giving. And begin to practice it. And begin to see it come to pass. Because, you know, God's gracious and God's good, and he's going to help you. And you can have that same testimony like Brother Keith. I might not have got it just right every time. But you know what? I stayed in there with my faith, and I believed God, and it came to pass. And then he just over and up and up. And you can go up and up and up. It's just pick it up again. It's all right.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Thank you so much, Margaret. Thank you so much. Because we're all about, you know, not compromise, but true balance in these things. And that's very, very, very good. And it's anything to do with, when it comes to the Spirit, it's an art form. It's not a science. You have to learn. You might make mistakes. And, you know, we can walk on the water. But as the old country preacher, you know, his message was, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. And God doesn't want you to sink when you get out on the water. But if you do because you made a mistake, praise God, just pick yourself back up and just repent and with a good heart and just keep walking with God and watch God help you and move you up in every realm spiritually and bless your socks off in every way possible. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. If you're saved and you know it, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, sing us out of here this morning, guys. Glory to God. The Lord is good. We love you with all of our hearts. Don't miss next Sunday. We're going to have a great time together. Thank you, Jesus.
I'll take you at your word. You said it, I'll believe it.